Deborah and I had a great time with our kids. We were, the theme of the whole evening was Alice in Wonderland, and so I dressed up as the Mad Hatter. If you were there, you saw me. You may not even recognize me. Deborah was the Queen of Hearts, which only later somebody pointed out the Queen of Hearts and the Mad Hatter are mortal enemies. And you're the one that picked the costumes out, so we're going to need to talk later and find out what's going on there. But it was really amazing. We had some really great people in our church that do makeup professionally. They sat us in a chair for like 3 hours and put the makeup on, and so we got to go out. I felt like a Disneyland character. We were stopped at least, I'm not exaggerating, at least 150 times by people that wanted pictures of us with their kids. Half of them didn't even know we were the pastors. They just wanted pictures, and when we started talking, they said, I know that voice. They did. And so we started talking to not only our own church folks, but there were so many more hundreds and even thousands of people that weren't from our church that were from the neighborhood that we got to talk to and invite into our party. And some of them we talked to, in fact, one family in particular I remember talking to said, you know, we've been living here for a while and we've been watching what's going on at the church and we've been wanting to come and visit. And now as we're coming in and engaging some of you people and running into some of the people from the church and seeing what joy there is and what grace there is, and they didn't use all these words, but this was the spirit and the sense that they gave. They said, we're going to come this Sunday and visit church and find out what's going on there. So if you're here today, welcome. Welcome. I was the guy in the Mad Hatter costume right here. It's just, I look different now. But you may be here, but you also may be somebody I didn't talk to. I talked to many, many families that were saying, hey, we want to come and visit and see what's going on there. But you may have come to our Trunk or Treat event and you thought, hey, I want to go see what's going on in this church and why they would do all of that for the city and with the city. And so we're really glad you're here. In fact, I'm really glad you're here this morning because today I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about why we exist as a church. So if you have ever driven by this place and you thought to yourself, what do they do in that big building that looks like an oversized Pizza Hut? I'm welcoming you today and saying, this is what we do and what we're all about. What I'm about to say to you is really the core. It's the essence of who we are as a church and what we want to be as a church. Now, I'm doing this at the end of a series. I started it in August, the middle of August. I started a 2-week series on the Holy Spirit, and I'm still in it. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit for 12 weeks now, and we're not done. We're going to keep talking about the life of the Holy Spirit, but we're going to put a little comma in this series because the 2-week series that turned into a 12-week series now is running into what I believe the Lord's given us to talk about over Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we're going to put a comma, or maybe, if you will, a semicolon in this series, and we're going to pick it back up in the new year. I want to talk about the kingdom of God and what it looks like to live out and express the kingdom of God in our lives. But we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and now today, to put a comma in this series, I want to zoom way back out to 60,000 feet and remind us the point, not all the details, but the one point of everything that we've been talking about the last few weeks, and really it's the point of everything in our church. See, we've been talking about the purpose of God for our lives. And the purpose of God for our lives is that we would bring light to darkness, that we would bring wholeness to brokenness, that the brokenness and darkness in our own life would be healed and brought together, and then we would be able to extend that into our world. See, Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. Jesus came to bring life and life abundantly. And the enemy's broken everything, and sin has broken everything. And God calls us to a purpose that's beyond just sitting around and hoping that heaven happens someday, that's beyond just sitting around and coming to church every week and giving our tithe and serving and passing out bulletins. He's calling us to something deeper than that. He wants us to make a difference in the world. He has a purpose for us, and we've been talking about this purpose for our lives. We've been talking about the power of God to our lives. And I heard a phrase, I was just this weekend at the Hillsong Conference that happened to be in LA. They have it in a different place in the world every year. This year it was in LA, and I wanted to go see what my brothers and sisters in the Lord were doing. And so I went to this conference, and one of the preachers got up and said something so succinctly, what I've been trying to say in sermon after sermon, he said in one very short sentence. And so I'm going to borrow it and say this. We've been talking about the power of God in our lives, and that is the supernatural power to live extraordinary lives. The supernatural power to live extraordinary lives. Because if he calls us to a purpose And that is to take care of the brokenness in the world, to engage the brokenness with wholeness, to engage the darkness with light. He calls us to the purpose. He also empowers us to that purpose. And he empowers us and gives us the power to live out that purpose. We've been talking about the purpose of God in our lives, the power of God to our lives, and the passion of God through our lives. The passion of God through our lives is tied to the verse that we read earlier, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." By the way, we're already perishing if we don't have Christ, and so he brought to rescue us from the brokenness and perishing. God is so passionate about the human race. He loves people so much that he sent his son to die, and then that passion gets expressed through us in his purpose and his power, and we get to engage people's lives with what he wants for their lives. But as important as God's purpose is for us, as important as his power is to us, as important as it is for us to get a hold of his passion for our lives, to be filled with the Spirit for the sake of the world, all of those things come after the one thing that is most important. The primary reason that we exist, the primary purpose that we gather together as a church, and that is this: the presence of God in our lives. The presence of God in our lives. Can you say that with me? The presence of God in our lives. See, people have preconceived ideas of what the church is all about. People who don't come to church and they're not part of church, and even people that have been part of church for years and years and decades, we get preconceived ideas that are wrong about what the church is all about. Some people grew up in churches that were somber and strict, and they think that church is all about being a killjoy and being somber, and you go in, and if you crack a smile, somebody's going to beat you over the head with a 50-pound Bible. People think that. They think, I can't walk in there. I've heard this from people who don't go to church, and I've talked to them about why. And they've said this. I've heard this more than once from people that say these words: if I walked into your church, the building would fall down on me. And you wouldn't want that to happen. That's their preconceived idea of what the church is all about. Or maybe they didn't grow up with any Christian background. And so, like my friend that I met this spring in Jordan, Abdullah, he'd only grown up going to mosque all of his life. He'd never been in church ever once in his whole life. And when he found out that I was a pastor, he got really interested. And he said, the only time I've ever seen what happens in church is when I watch it on TV or movies. They don't know what goes on in church. They think it's whatever they see in the movies and TV. And how many of you know that sometimes what you see in church in the movies and TV is pretty messed up, right? That's their idea. Or maybe you're like Caleb Quay. Caleb's one of our elders here. He plays guitar. And he plays professionally. In fact, a movie about his life is being released in a few weeks. It's pretty amazing. We'll talk more about that. But he used to play for people like Elton John and Hall & Oates and all of that kind of stuff. He was invited to this church in 1980 on Easter Sunday by a friend who went to this church who knew that Caleb desperately needed Jesus. Drug addicted and full of brokenness, Caleb walked through the doors of that building. It was only a few months after this building had been erected, and he walked in and he said, my friend was playing a trick on me because I wasn't in church. This must be a concert. He thought he was at a concert. He didn't think he was at church. And he came in and realized after the worship was done that it wasn't a concert, that they were worshiping God. And he heard the word of the Lord spoken, and he gave his heart to the Lord. But he thought it was a concert. Abdul only sees what he sees on TV and movies. Some people think that it's a place where all of your joy is extinguished. But even if you've been in church a long time, you may have a different idea about what church is all about. You may think, as some do, that church is primarily a teaching center. That you come and you listen and we sing some songs to begin with, but you really are here to hear the main event, the Word of God spoken. And the Word of God is spoken and you learn something and your mind changes and you grow and you're inspired. Some people think that we're primarily a worship center and they come early because they want to hear all the songs and they want to give glory to God and they want to give praise to Him. Or maybe they come because we're a house of prayer and they say the churches should be all about prayer and this is the one place I can really go and pray with brothers and sisters. Some people see the church and they think the purpose that we exist is for outreach to our community. They care deeply about social justice and they want to see God's justice flow through us into our city. And some people say, well, the reason that the church exists is for world missions. The world needs to know that Jesus exists, and so the church comes together and pools our resources and sends people out. Or maybe you think of church as a place where you can go and find healing to your brokenness. Can I tell you, church, that the church is all of those things? Anybody? Yeah? You're going to find healing to your brokenness. You're going to find a place where we're going to care about the world. This is a house of prayer. We are worshiping the living God. We are going to be taught by the Word of God. All of those things are important. But they all come after something that's even more important. I'm not going to say more important because they're equally as important, but these things are a result of the primary purpose that we come together. And the primary purpose that the church comes together is to encounter the living presence of a living, awesome God. Can I say that again? The reason that we come together isn't, I don't want us coming to the room and going, hey, you know that church has a great worship team? Let's go hear the coolest, awesomest, best worship, the best sound, the best lights. I want to go and be a part of that. That is not why we come to church. I don't want people coming to church because they say, you know that pastor, he's so good looking. I mean, you can say I'm good looking, that's okay, but that's not why you're coming to church. I don't want you thinking that you're coming to church to hear the pastor preach only or to worship with the team only. Or I don't want people thinking I'm going to church because those people are so nice. Although I really do want you to be nice, okay? I want us to be kind. I want us to be good people. I want people to feel like they're going to be embraced into family when they come here. But those aren't the purpose that we gather. The reason we gather together is because we come and we expect to experience the living, tangible presence of the Lord Almighty. That's why we're here. We're not here for other reasons. Now, when we experience the Lord, when we encounter the Lord, when we open up to His presence, guess what? Then when we open up the Word and teach with accuracy and authority, our lives are going to be changed in His presence and by His Word. When we worship Him, we're going to see the blinders come off, and worship allows us to see what God's doing in our midst. When we pray with each other, we're not praying to some God who's distant and far off on a different planet. We're praying with each other, and we're praying to a God who's standing right there beside us. When we outreach to our neighborhood or to our world, we're going and we're walking in the power of God, but we're walking with the presence of God, and that is the whole point. There's nothing wrong with any of the other stuff, but if God isn't really here when we gather, then I want to lock the doors to this place and chain it up and sell the property and give it all away to a good cause. You got me? If God isn't going to show up when we get together, then everything else we do isn't worth it. God's here right now. And I don't want to move a step if God's presence isn't here. And you may think I'm a crazy pastor, and you think, well, we're going to have a different pastor next week because he just said that he wants to sell the building. But there was a leader in the Old Testament who said something similar. Moses in Exodus 33, God was saying, listen, I'm fed up with you and the people. You go ahead and leave and move, and you go to the promised land, and you do your thing. Go ahead and do it, but I'm not going to go with you. And Moses contended and said, we're not going to move a step, God. Unless your presence goes with us, we're not going anywhere. Unless your presence goes with us, none of this stuff matters. Unless your presence is strong in this place, it doesn't matter at all. In other words, our purpose here at the Church on the Way is God's presence. See, God's intention, I believe, for a church is to be a place where His presence is evident. Where we come together and we walk in this place. And in 1 Corinthians 14, I have my Bible open to there right now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm looking at which verse it is. It's in verse 25. Thank you. In verse 25, it says that a place where God's presence is strong, a church where God's presence is evident, that people will walk through the back doors, they'll walk in the church, and they're not going to go, oh, wow, look at the pastor. Oh, wow, look at the worship team. Oh, wow, look at this or look at that. Oh, look at the lights. Look at the colors. It's cool. It's hot outside. It's there. Look at the air conditioning. They're not going to say any. Look at the donuts, right? They're not going to say any of that stuff. It says that when people walk into a place where the presence of God is and they've never experienced the presence of God, they're going to fall down to their knees and say, God is truly among these people. God's really here. Oh God. If God's really here, people are going to fall on their faces before Him. people are going to be changed. If God's really here, then broken bodies are going to be healed. If God's really here, then broken souls are going to be put back together. If God's really here, then the places in your life that are dark are going to be exposed to the light of the universe. If God is really here, then souls that are addicted and lives that are addicted, those addictions are going to be smashed in the name of Jesus. If God is really here among us, everything changes. And we don't just come and have nice church and do this for an hour and a half and then go get lunch. If God is truly among us, we're going to fall on our face and we're going to recognize that God's presence is changing everything about us. That's what this church is all about. And if you're brand new and you're thinking, who is that guy up there yelling? I'm going to tell you, I'm not yelling at you. I am just so excited at the prospect of the presence of God being here to change your life that I can't help but get a little bit excited. Anybody with me? Yeah? Okay. God is here. Lives will be restored. Relationships will be restored. People will find their eternal purpose. You know, there are people in the world that are just wandering around like zombies. And they're just like, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't know why I exist. I have my job and I do my thing and I pay my bills, but they don't have any sense of why God's put them on this earth. I believe that if God's presence is here, when people walk into this place, they're going to encounter a living God who's going to give them purpose in life. And every one of us needs that. And every one of your friends needs that. And every one of the people that we encounter needs to experience the life of God. See, the church was formed at the beginning in Acts 2, the birthday of the church, we call it, right? Pentecost. The sound of the mighty rushing wind came, and they all were speaking in tongues, but the thing that identified them visually was that tongues of fire came to rest on each believer. The presence of God was part of the DNA of the early church. When the early church gathered, they expected God to show up and do stuff. You read through 1 Corinthians and you recognize that when the church gathered, they expected God to show up. But friends, his presence marks the church, not the building. See, all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament, here's what we hear, that God does not live in temples made by human hands. Did you know that God doesn't live in this room? If you are on vacation somewhere, you're in New York, you're having a great vacation, somebody gave you tickets to Hamilton on Broadway, you're enjoying life, okay? And all of a sudden you realize, I need God's presence. Did you know that you don't have to get on a plane and come and find your way to Sherman Way in Tyrone to find God? And knock on the door and say, God lives in that building, so that's where I have to go. Even in the Old Testament, Solomon was clear about that. He built the coolest, biggest, most expensive building to God that anybody ever built or ever will build in the history of mankind. And when he was dedicating the temple, he prayed this prayer. He said, God, I know very good and well that this temple cannot contain your presence. Because all of heaven and earth can't contain your presence. This is a place where we're going to worship you, where we're going to encounter you, where we're going to see your presence. But God does not live in temples built by human hands. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, here's what we find. Paul speaking by the Holy Spirit to the Corinthians who they understood the presence of God in their midst, but they really weren't living holy lives. So he was encouraging them and challenging them and saying, listen, you're living unholy lives in the area of your sexuality. And you need to understand something. He says in verse 19, do you not know that when you allow your bodies to be a part of this broken sexuality in your life, don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have received from God? Your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Let's say this together. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Say it. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. If you've given your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you. In John 14, Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to give you a spirit, a Holy Spirit, who's going to live with you and he's going to be with you forever. He said that in Matthew 28 when he was leaving his disciples and ascending to heaven. What did he say? He said, listen, obey me, follow me, go out and preach the gospel, and I will be with you always. Hebrews says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Isn't that a good promise? God is with us. See, We're going to encounter the presence of God when we come into this room. I believe that. We pray for it. Our staff contends for it. Our elders contend for it. We walk through this place when it's empty and we say, Lord, would you show up? Would you bring healing and restoration? Would you bring conviction of sin? Lord, would you call us to know you? Lord, would you make us holy? When we come together, we want to encounter you. We believe it with all our heart that in this place, we're going to encounter the Lord. But he doesn't live here. He lives in each of you who have given your heart to the Lord, which means this, that wherever you go, there he is. Wherever you go, there he is. In fact, here's what I believe. If people encounter God's presence here, they're also going to encounter him when you, who are a walking, living temple, encounter them. You're going to go into places where you're going to engage people. Listen, there are people that will walk into this place and they're going to fall on their knees and they're going to fall on their face and say, God's truly among you. I still hear all the time I talk to new people at this church that you just started coming to the church and I go, hey, what did you experience when you first got here? I still hear stories every time I talk to people that say, I walked into the room and I sensed the presence of God and I started weeping. We probably should supply more Kleenex in this place, right? And buy stock in some Kleenex or something like that. Because they start weeping because the presence of God is here. But how many of you know that for every one person that walks through those doors, there's 1,000 people that will never intend to walk through those doors. And the 1,000 people are people that each of you are going to encounter in your lives, in your neighborhoods, in your workplaces, in your schools. And as the presence of God dwells in you, if we are a people of his presence when we come together, how much more are we a people of his presence when we're scattered all over the town? I want to pray like Moses. I don't want to just pray, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us as a church, I don't want to go any farther. I want to pray this. Lord, if your presence doesn't go with me, every place I step my foot, I do not want to take another step. See, you and I are called to be people of God's presence. That we understand that his presence lives in us, and then his power, because his presence lives in us, his presence flows through us. And if you're a person of his presence, every dark and broken place that you're ever going to encounter, you're encountering with the light of Christ living in your life. That every dark and broken place that you come to, whether it's at home, whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's your school or your work, you're going to encounter that dark and broken place with a living, loving God who brings life and hope and healing, and he's going to be working through you. That's what this Holy Spirit series has been all about. It's not about the gifts of the Spirit or speaking in tongues or how to be full of all of that stuff is important on how we engage the life of the Spirit. But at the end of the day, here it is. The Holy Spirit living in you wants to be the Holy Spirit working through you because he loves a broken world so much that he wants to bring healing to it, and he's going to do it through you. That's what the Holy Spirit series has been all about. I was talking to a friend this last week. We were having coffee together. And he's a friend in our church, and we don't get together nearly enough, but a really great guy. He used to be a missionary to Africa with his family. He's worked in very large churches across the country and been doing what's called the ministry early and went to Bible college and did ministry for a long time. But we were sitting and talking because he's not in classic church ministry right now. He's working for a media company, and he lives in Los Angeles. And we were talking about what it is like to have worked at a church and been a missionary and now working in a media company. And we came up with this thought. I started saying, you know, I wonder if right now you have more of a possibility of doing ministry than you ever did in the church. I wonder if you have more of a possibility of doing ministry now as you engage a broken and dark world every day, people who desperately need the love of God, people who desperately need the presence of God, that when you're walking in life with the presence of God, that you're able to extend that and express that, and people's lives are going to be changed. I wonder if you could do more ministry right now than we could ever do within the church. See, that's the point of the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you this week. I want to encourage you to take one day, even if it's only one day, and cultivate an awareness of his presence in you. That you would wake up, go ahead and call it a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday and say, today, it's not going to be intermittent. I'm going to remember that the Lord's with me every once in a while. Today, I'm going to cultivate as much as I can every moment of the day the awareness of the presence of God in me. And when you start running into people that are broken and hurting and dark situations and light that has gone out and life that has been snuffed out, life that has been snuffed out, that you can bring life and healing and light and grace. I want us to this week think about one day that we can cultivate a great awareness of his presence. And then I want us to think about a day, maybe you say, hey, I'm generally usually aware of the Lord's presence. Then I want to ask you to do something else. Why don't you spend that day cultivating an expectation of his purpose and power through you? That when you run into, and when I run into the dark places, that I actually extend light by my words and by my actions through the Holy Spirit working through me. Church, whether you've been here for 50 years or whether this is your very first time here. And by the way, here's what the Lord spoke to my heart. There's going to be some people that are here for the first time and you're going to go, whoa, that was just crazy experience. I'm not going back there. And can I tell you that I'm so glad you made it today? It's great that you're here today, but here's what I'm praying for you. At some point, you're going to reach a moment where you desperately need the Lord. And when you reach that moment, I want you to come back here because you'll find him. You're going to find him. And we love you. And we're glad you're here. But whether you're here for the very first time or you've been here for 50 years, I want to remind us of the purpose of this church, of the purpose of our lives who make up this church. I want us to remember that our purpose is God's presence. And when God's presence is manifest in us, he's going to work his life out through us to the world around us. I believe that's absolutely vital if we want to understand the life of the Holy Spirit. So now we're going to turn a corner and we're coming to communion. We're coming to a moment where we receive the bread that represents Jesus' body and the cup that represents his blood. And while we don't believe that the bread and the cup represent his actual real physical presence, we do believe that as we receive that, as we come to the cross, that we open up to the reality of his presence in us at all times. We come back to the place of the cross, which is the moment at which God's presence was offered back to us. See, way back in the beginning in Genesis 3, human beings who were made in the image of God, who had been given stewardship over the earth, who were in partnership with the God of the universe, who every day walked in the cool of the garden with the Lord God Almighty. Humans decided that they would choose death over life. They would choose rebellion over following God. And from that moment on, brokenness came into the world. Every ounce of brokenness in our world happened from that fracture in our relationship with the presence of God. And since then, people, you may go, well, that was Adam and Eve. If I was there, I wouldn't have made that choice. Can I promise you, you would have made that choice? You know how I know that? Because ever since that moment, every human being that was ever born has made a choice for death over life. Every human being that's ever been born has made a choice to turn away from God rather than to turn to him. And so God, who deeply loved us from the very beginning, sent his own son, who himself was in nature God, he was God, came down to be a human being so he could be fully God in his nature, but also fully human. But he was the only fully human who ever didn't choose death. He didn't choose death, and so he didn't need to die. But he willingly sacrificed himself on the cross so that those of us who had chosen death could trade places with him. And he invites us into relationship with him. When we talk about living with the presence of God, that's the moment that we were offered a relationship, a pathway back into relationship with God's presence. And now if we'll come to the cross, if we'll say, Lord, I'm turning from my own way and I'm embracing what you did for me when you died for me. And when you rose again in resurrection life, now I can walk in that life. If we'll come to Jesus, he gives us life and light. He starts to create wholeness in broken places. And more than anything, he'll give us purpose. He'll give us his passion for the world. He'll give us all of those things, even his power. But more than any of that, he says, I want to reconnect you to my presence. I want to reconnect you to relationship with me. And we're going to come to the communion, the table of communion, and we're going to remember what Jesus did to do that for us. Can you bow your heads with me? And we're going to pray before we do that.